Poor Thomas. Over the last 2,000 years, we have come to know the disciple as Doubting Thomas because of this one episode in the Gospel of John. Unless I see, unless I touch and place my hands, I will not believe, says Thomas. One can hardly blame him. After all, the other disciples are not exactly personifications of faith, are they? Judea betrayed Jesus. Peter denied he even knew Jesus. And the others? Well, our text tells us they are locked in a secret room, hiding. Not exactly a testimony of great faith. Thomas is the pragmatic one, the realist. If we don't know where we are going, how can we possibly know the way? If we don't have the address to put in our GPS system, how do we get there? It's pretty realistic, isn't it? These disciples, or at least some of them, have seen Jesus tortured, crucified. They knew he was dead. They had seen him doing amazing miracles, including raising Lazarus. They had heard him predict his own resurrection. But of course, we know that they didn't really pay much attention to that. Of course, affecting one's own resurrection is quite a different matter than this story. These disciples didn't believe any more than possibly Thomas did. I think Thomas was saying, hold on a second, guys. What you're telling me seems to be consistent of my experience, does not seem to be consistent with my experience of God through Jesus, or my understanding of how God works. It is not consistent with my faith. Show me how this is possible. This then leads to perhaps the most important question raised in this story. What exactly is faith? What is faith? Does faith consist in accepting and believing extraordinary things will come otherwise? Is faith completely a mental exercise? Is faith in Jesus solely accepting the authenticity of a series of incredible stories, miracles, and signs, including the resurrection? Is that what faith is? I'm not so sure. It seems a little like mental gymnastics. See, there is no noun for the word faith. It is always a verb. It is always an action. The point of the miracles and signs of Jesus and resurrection itself is not to encourage us to sit back in our armchairs and ponder whether or not we can find credibility to convince ourselves in the truth of these stories. Rather, they lead us to act. They are to lead us to live lives reflecting of love, even when that may not compute. A week ago today, we celebrated the resurrection. There comes a time, however, when we must live the resurrection. And that is not always easy. There are days when we prefer to stay in bed, pull the covers over our head, and close ourselves to the world. Some days it seems easier and maybe even safer to lock the doors of our house and avoid the circumstances and people in our lives. Every day, however, every day that we shut our doors, our mind, our hearts, we imprison ourselves. For every person, every idea, every event we lock out, regardless of the reason, we lock ourselves in. That's what has happened to the disciples in today's gospel. It is Easter evening, the first day of the week, the day of the resurrection, the day they saw the empty tomb, the day Mary Magdalene announced, "I have seen the Lord." The disciples are gathered in the house, the doors are locked, and a week later, they are in the same place. in the same house with the same walls, the same closed doors, and the same locks. Not much has changed. Jesus' tomb is open and empty, but the disciples' house is closed and locked tightly. The house has become their tomb. Jesus is on the loose, and the disciples are bound in fear. They have separated themselves and their lives from the reality of Jesus' resurrection. Their doors of faith have been closed. They have shut their eyes to the reality that life is now different. They have locked out Mary Magdalene's words of hope and faith and love. They've left the empty tomb of Jesus and gathered and entered into their own tombs of faith and doubt. The locked doors have become the great stone sealing their tomb. They have locked themselves in. The doors of our tombs, are they locked? Are they locked from the inside? All this, and it's only been 1 week. 1 week after Easter, is our life different? Where are we living? How are we living? In the freedom and joy of the resurrection or behind locked doors? How is our life different after Easter? And if it isn't, what are the locked doors in our lives and our hearts or our minds? When John describes the house, the doors, and the locks, he is speaking about more than a physical house. More than walls and doors and hinges and deadbolts, he is describing the interior condition of the disciples. The locked places in our lives are always more about what is going on inside of us than around us. What are the closed places in your lives? What keeps you in the tomb? Maybe, like the disciples, it is fear. Maybe it is questions, disbelief, or conditions we have placed on our own faith. Perhaps it is sorrow or loss. Maybe the wounds are so deep, it does not seem worth the risk to step outside. Maybe the wounds are from anger, resentment. It may seem that we are unwilling or unable to open up to new ideas or new possibilities and change. Jesus is always entering the locked places in our lives. He comes Eastering in, uninvited, unexpected, and sometimes even unwanted as he steps into our closed lives and closed hearts. Standing among us, he offers peace and breathes new life into us. He doesn't open the door, but he gives us all that we need so that we may open that door to a new life and a new creation and a new way of being. Life and peace are resurrection reality. 24 years ago, I did not believe that I knew what God meant in my life. I did not realize God had shown up in my life. I was young, I was 20, and though I thought I knew it all, and I had an attitude to go along with that, for the first time in my life, I got down on my hands and knees, and I prayed. And life didn't get any easier. I was angry, I was resentful, and I thought, why don't you help me? It was not until 3 years later that I realized God had shown up for me, just not the way I wanted. I was closed off to the suggestions. I had a closed heart, and I was indeed closed in my thinking. I began realizing that having faith did not mean I would get everything I wanted or thought I believed I should have. Having faith for me was about showing up, participating, being part of something greater than myself, even if it did not compute. This didn't necessarily change the circumstances of my life completely or drastically, and it does not change the circumstances of our life and world. Tornadoes will still form, the hungry will still need to be fed, and loved ones will die. The life and peace of Jesus' resurrection enables us to meet and live through those circumstances. He gives us peace, his breath, his life, and then he sends us out. We are free to unlock the doors of our lives and step into his life. Thomas finally gets what the other disciples get. He understands a personal encounter with the living Jesus. And it makes a difference to him. And it makes a difference to the other disciples. They eventually unbolt their locked door and go out into the world and share the good news that Jesus has risen and that the powers of darkness are defeated. We too are called. Called out of our armchairs, from our unbolted doors, our walls, to live life reflecting in this amazing good news.